When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Happy Friday to you. It's the Carton Show, Big Mac. So real quick, before we get back to your calls and do some Abdul Carter calls, and then we'll get into some other things as well. Yeah, this weekend, obviously, NFL, SNY joins us as well. Hi, SNY.
Hi, SNY. Guys.
So interesting, the Bears-Packers game.
Yes.
Which is on Amazon, by the way, which it is what it is. Like, we can bitch about it all we want. We're all going to find a way to watch it.
Amazon.
I know.
Everybody has it.
Not everybody has Amazon.
Everybody has it.
Not everybody has Amazon.
This is the one I won't. Like,
I'm not complaining about it.
If it's on Peacock, if it's on, I don't know, what all the other, you know, if it's on Apple TV, if it's on.
I was just making the point. It's on Amazon.
Everyone has Amazon with the 2-day delivery. Everybody has it.
That doesn't mean you know how to get Amazon on your television.
You have to learn. It's the new way of the world.
I'm not even complaining.
We count rushes. And we watch things on Amazon.
Yes, well,
get with it.
If you want to watch the Bears and Packers,
yes.
You have to have Amazon.
You do.
For those of you that don't have Amazon, you can go to some of the black market sites if you want, which I thought was shut down, but amazingly they're not. So there
good
you
to
go.
Know.
But here's the weird thing about this. I'm not sure if you saw this little ditty that came out. I found this fascinating. From a sports talk perspective and a dinner table conversation.
Okay.
So not for your kids are too young for the conversation, but follow the bouncing bar for a second,
All right?
So, the last time that the Chicago Bears beat the Green Bay Packers in the playoffs, I don't know, you didn't see this, obviously, did you?
No.
If you had to take just a random guess, obviously divisional rivals.
Yeah.
Obviously we're going all the way back to the actual Lambeau family, right, and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When's the last time you think the Chicago Bears beat the Packers in a playoff game? If you had to take a wild guess, decade.
I'm assuming it's a long time ago. And I
That's
know
a fair assumption.
Aaron Rodgers owned them.
Go ahead.
They didn't have to play the Packers in 85.
Take a guess of
all right,
decade.
I'm trying to the ninth. The 1960s. 1960s.
So, yeah,
50s. 50s. I changed my mind. 50s.
All right. So you're guessing the 50s because I'm asking for a reason, obviously.
Correct.
So originally you're probably thinking 80s. And
no,
then you're
I went through 86, and I know they didn't have to beat the Packers on the way to 86.
Okay.
So that's I went that quick.
got it.
85, rather.
All right.
I'm sorry.
It's all good. I got you.
The 85 Bears didn't have to beat the Packers.
So the last time the Chicago Bears beat the Green Bay Packers in a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
Was the week after the Pearl Harbor attack.
Wow.
Okay?
Wow.
So here's
1941?
So here's what I'm trying to figure out. Why were we playing football?
That's a good point.
The week after the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. Now, I know that the answer's been like when Kennedy got assassinated.
Right.
The idea was America needs football.
I was just going to say that a lot. We've had that discussion, and the people who made the decision are public. They regret the decision
yes.
to play.
Yes. It was Pete Rozelle.
Yeah.
That right?
Was it Pete Rozelle?
Whoever it was. I remember we've talked about it because of 9/11.
We've talked about it, and the discussion, and they regret it. Going back, they regret playing
yes,
the football games.
But they did play football. The ideology was America needs a distraction.
Yeah.
Football's a great distraction. And yes, years later, in someone's autobiography, the decision makers regretted doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. 9/11 obviously happens here in New York. We did take a week off. And then the following week, Jets, Patriots, famous, all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Baseball took off.
Right.
Everything.
The
obviously,
Piazza home run.
Piazza running against the Braves, all that.
Yep.
And again, football wasn't what it was then, what it is now.
Right.
I get that. I respect that as well. But football was still important in the 40s, in New York, obviously in Chicago and Green Bay, et cetera. But I was shocked by that.
Yeah.
That 1 week after, at the time, the most devastating attack on American soil, we played football. That's crazy,
that
no?
That's crazy.
Right?
Yeah. You would assume that they would. Yeah. I don't know how it would have been thought of.
So I'm not
then.
Sure who decided that.
Yeah.
Right? But 84 years ago, I think I'm right on the date.
It's December 7th, 41.
Yeah. So 84 years ago, 1 week after the attack on Pearl Harbor, the Chicago Bears beat the Green Bay Packers in a playoff game, 33-14. It was George House's Bears and Curly Lambeau's Packers.
Wow.
That's the last time the Chicago Bears, because, you know, we think about this great rivalry, and it's maybe the greatest rivalry in all football. Yeah, I know that could be argued, but for a lot of people, it's the oldest rivalry for sure.
I think so.
Right? And yet, they played a week later. I'm fascinated by that.
I am fascinated by it. And I'm curious. I mean, I don't know. Like, I guess I don't know if this is bad or not. I know the dates. I don't remember the day of the week off the top of my head. So how many days are we talking about in between?
I'd have to check that.
Right. Like, it's not. Did
I'm
it
not
happen?
Sure. Was it a full 7 days?
Right. Or
I think the attack was a weekend morning because a lot of the guys were sleeping in.
Right.
If I remember the the historical story correctly.
Right.
Which is why they wanted to attack on the day they attacked.
Right.
But.
I know it was the 7th. I don't remember the day of the week or when this game was played. Was the NFL played on Sundays back then, too?
I think the NFL was always played on Sundays.
Yeah, right?
I think so. I'm not positive. Again, there's a great book I read when I was away about, like, the formation of the NFL and the men that created it and the Rooney family and, obviously, you know, the Maras and all that. And one of the craziest stories during World War II, I think it was, there weren't enough guys left to play. Because so many guys, went to the Army, right? Did you know, I assume you do, that the Steelers and the Eagles combined franchises? And for two seasons, they were called the Steagles. They didn't have enough players for both teams to exist. So they got together and they said, let's combine forces. Mm-hmm. And while a lot of our players are off at war, the guys that remain behind will play as one team, and they were known as the Steagles. That is a true story.
Really?
You think I'm BSing you?
No.
No.
The name, I would.
I read about it.
I'm not saying you didn't.
Yeah.
And I'm saying I have no idea. I'd never heard that. I'm assuming you're not lying to me. Just what jumps out to me is, wouldn't Steel Eagles sound better than Steagles?
You're upset with the name?
I just think the Steagles sounds weird.
No, go with the Steagles.
Steel Eagles sound badass.
I don't think they were worried about the name during the war.
They worried about playing. Anything worth doing is worth doing right.
Well, they wanted to keep the NFL alive, and they were concerned
if
those two franchises got shut down and it almost happened
that the NFL would get shut down. That is fascinating, and I did not know that.
Yeah.
But if
you had a computer, you'd look it up.
I would have went Steel Eagles.
Steel Eagles sounds like a bad Long Island cover band.
That's what it sounds like
to me. Here's Rob in Queens on the Fan. Rob, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Craigie, I'm glad you're back, man.
Thank you. I'm a big fan. Appreciate you.
I follow you down a Boomer, when you were with Evan, everything.
Yep.
I got a couple of things.
A lot of carrying. Yep.
Believe me, man, I've been through a little too, you know what I'm saying? So that's why you're a big follower for me, man.
Thank you.
And you gave me strength. I listen to your program on Sundays. You know what I'm saying? Trust me.
Thank you. I appreciate that very, very much. Thank you.
No, I appreciate you, man. There's a couple of things. One, I'm one of the guys that chew, and then I drink after when I finish my food. So Big Mac is not only
with
his hands.
So you finish the meal, and then you'll have a drink?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
All right. That's one thing.
Yeah.
Now, this morning on Boomer, they accept your channels, but did you hear your payout that he wants you to do if you lose?
I was driving my kids to school all day today. I did not get to hear what they said. What'd they say?
They say that if you lose, you got to name the show Craigie and Mac.
Oh, that's what they want from me?
Yeah, that's what they want from you. They want you to put Big Mac's name on the show.
Well, I would say this, all right? Everything's up for negotiation, okay? And I appreciate your call, Rob, and thanks for the Sunday you love as well.
Yeah.
So I think, look, it's January. This is not happening for a long time.
Right.
Because I don't play golf under 60 degrees, and I don't like playing golf anyway. All right? So at some point, the four of us, you have to be a part of this, are going to sit down in a room together, and we're going to go over this and agree on the rules. I don't gamble anymore, so I'm not going to risk anything.
Right.
I want to be clear about that. So there can't be something that's a risk for me to take because I do not gamble anymore. And if gambling's involved with this, I'm not doing it because I don't put myself in those positions anymore. But I'm sure that'll be fine. And I think we have to come up with what's the course and what are the rules. And yes, I think this should be like the way a fantasy football league ends. Whoever comes in last has a punishment.
Has a punishment.
I think that's what this should be. It's not gambling.
Right.
Because again, I can't and I won't. but I think there can be a fair punishment to the losing side. Yeah. I think that's the way it should be.
You see?
And that would be a punishment to me.
Yeah, see, that's what I don't like. I don't like that. I was kind of all for it for a second there. For a second there, I was like, you know what? That's a good idea. I can't lose.
But right? I'll do it. We'll
either my
it
partner
out.
Wins and we have some fun, or you lose, I got my name on the show. But the idea that that is now being presented as like a punishment to you.
Right.
That bothers me. It bothers me like that's how we'll really stick it to Craig, we'll put his partner's name on the show. No, I don't like that.
Look,
I like that.
I'm all in to do it.
Yeah.
We are going to play. My son's all excited about it as well.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to agree on what are the rules and what's the punishment. And okay. I think we'll come to that pretty quickly. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm not talking about this every day until this thing happens. Matter of fact, it's the last I'm talking about it till we have a plan.
Okay.
And the plan's going to happen off air. Because this is not happening until late spring, early summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no interest in talking about my personal golf game or anyone else's. It bores me to tears. It's like having somebody go, hey, let me tell you about my fantasy team. Hey, yeah, guess what I got in the third round?
Brutal loss.
Yeah, I don't care about your fantasy team. Okay. I don't. I never will. I never have. I tell my kids all the time, I don't care about your fantasy team. No one cares about my personal golf game. Now, I think there'll be vested interest in a competition.
I definitely think so.
And we will have a competition. But that is not going to happen till spring or summer. So that's a wrap for now. I accepted the challenge. They accepted the challenge. We're all grown men. We will figure it out. And Gio cannot beat me in golf.
Feeling pretty good about that, huh?
Gio reached out to me the other day. It's probably a private thing, but you know, he didn't say it's private, so it's not private in my world. You know those rules.
Yeah.
And it was very nice, I thought. Because he and I don't know each other that well,
mm-hmm.
right? I guess a bunch of guys are going to an Islanders hockey game.
It's not private, yeah. You can talk about it.
Yeah, I'm not.
You're not coming?
Nah.
I think it's on your birthday.
It's on my birthday.
Yeah.
So I took a rain check in there.
Plus,
little memo to Greg and to you and everyone else.
Yeah.
And I, by the way, it was a nice invitation,
mm-hmm.
and I appreciate it very much that I was included and invited to join you guys
I think
to watch a sport I don't care about in a county I don't like being in.
Well,
okay?
The Islanders do a great job. I think I'll probably go this year again.
You
I've
should.
Been there the past couple
Enjoy,
of years. It's fun.
Go put on an Islanders jersey. Have some fries, whatever you want to do.
I did that once. Maybe, do I have the cachet now to say no to the owner? Maybe I do. I don't know. I didn't feel like I did.
Oh, it's Ledecky's box?
Yeah.
By the way, I emailed John Ledecky when I came back. And he always gets right back to me.
Not this time.
Not this time.
But what are you going to be doing on your birthday? Anything big?
I'm not going to be in Nassau County watching hockey.
No.
I can tell you that. That's a lock. Yeah.
Doesn't
I don't know.
Like a good,
I might go to Patricia's in Homedale.
33 is not really a big birthday, so there's not really.
No, I'm 36. 36. Last year was a big one.
Oh, okay.
35 is like, oh my God, I'm closer to 40 than 30.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
Right.
36, it's like, who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it'll be dinner with the family.
That's it.
That's it.
Keep it
but you guys should have a good time. And I just want to say publicly, I appreciate being included and invited. I think it was great.
No,
so that's
nice
it.
Greg.
Oh, there. One other rule about the golf thing, just real quick. Because last time that I was in a competitive golf thing with Boomer on the same course, Matt Martin cheated. And got a lesson on the course on the 17th or 16th hole. No on-course lessons.
Okay.
No having a scratch golfer hold you by the hips on the course, up one with three to play, and showed you how to turn your body on a 60-yard chip shot. No. Unacceptable. So there are going to be rules this time around.
How'd that chip shot go for Matt Martin?
It went right on the green like 5 feet away. Dude, we were playing for 10 grand.
I know.
10,000.
Yeah.
And I'm down a stroke on 16, and he's getting a lesson. Yeah.
Was it like a bowling lesson?
Know? Yeah, exactly right.
Exactly right.
Guy's holding his hips. What are we doing there? Here's Mike in Massapequa on the fan. Mike, what's up?
Hey, Craigie.
Yeah.
C-Mac, what's going on, brother? Hey,
what's up?
Welcome back, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
C-Mac, I got to tell you, man, I've listened to you for a long time, and I'm glad you're on that show. I got this.
Thank
you. I got the Big Mac Carton Show.
The Big Mac Carton Show. That sounds good, too. That'll work.
Craig, I got to tell you, you know, the addiction is, I'm battling with a different addiction. You know, it's been about 16 months, and just, you know, left Massapequa. My wife, I have 21 years, put me in California.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful to say that 6 months today. I have not picked up a drink or anything else like that. And I am, you know, I listen to you all the time and I appreciate everything that's going on.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. And listen, keep your head up and keep doing the right thing every day. And it's easy to say that, but you're obviously doing it. And I appreciate that. All right, Abdul Carter. Here's my main man, Ryan and Brick. House.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What's up, Ryan?
What's up, Ryan? Not much. Yeah, so I wanted to bring you guys back to sports a little bit. Yeah. After I wanted to say that Beatles easily can be left off the Mount Rushmore, I would insert Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah. Great. Okay, good. What do you got on Abdul Carter? Mister, I want to talk sports.
Carter, I mean, led rookies in pressures. Once they inserted Charlie Bullen, you saw an easy improvement. Mm-hmm. They confirmed that there was no porn. That was like a huge issue in like week 15 or 17.
Well, that was the accusation.
Yes. On his phone. Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah.
Let me ask you a question, Ryan, because you're a Giants fan. Big Mac, jump in, obviously,
yes,
as well.
Yeah.
Do you think it was as simple as, oh, we changed who the defensive coordinator was? Or are we going to acknowledge that maybe Abdul Carter didn't take his job seriously before that?
I think that it could be a little bit of both. I think that's fair. A lot of guys in that locker room didn't take.
Yeah, and to his point, he also wasn't, it wasn't just like suddenly, oh, the defensive coordinator changed so that. They were asking him to do different things. He was dropping back into coverage. He was doing different things.
They asked him to be a player.
Well, yeah, he was.
Right. Because at Penn State, he wasn't. Penn State did one thing every snap. They were like, hey, it's the NFL.
Yeah.
We're going to need you to do some other things here. Then come around the corner to try to get to the quarterback. And so, oh, my God, I can't believe the Giants asked their top 10 draft pick to do something on a football field.
That would
field.
Take away from his sack numbers, which is all you want to judge him by.
Stop it.
No. Okay. Can't have it both ways.
Yeah.
Can't sit here and say, well, look at his sack numbers. That's the only thing that matters.
Four sacks.
And then go, well, I mean, oh, so they asked him not to go after the quarterback. Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
And that's why you can't just look at sack
God
numbers.
God forbid they asked him
no
to be a complete
saying, God
player.
Forbid. We're saying that you can't judge it based on just sacks.
Okay.
That's what you want to do. They had him doing other things. And they didn't bring any pressure. They never helped him at all. Like, the changing of the coordinator absolutely 100% had an impact.
Okay. Now
also, he had to get his head straight.
All right, let me ask you this. Because you guys are like sheep, a lot of you, okay? And I'm going to explain now. You guys have latched on to a Fugazi stat that no one's ever used or talked about, ever. It's like a new. It's like the war and whip. All of a sudden, now football fans are like, "How many quick pressures did he have?" It's a stat not a single human being on the planet ever talked about in handicapping whether a guy had a good year or a bad year. And all of a sudden, every Giant fan's reading from the same Giants account. Oh, he was 11th in the league in pressures. Here's my question. How many pressures did Lawrence Taylor have? You have no idea.
Right.
How many pressures did Reggie White have in his career? No idea.
How many sacks they had in their career. I just know it was a lot.
How many pressures did Myles Garrett have this year?
We don't care about numbers.
Okay. Oh, no, you do.
No,
because
not
you
in football.
Keep
we don't care about numbers all that
no,
much.
No, but you do.
It's not like baseball.
You keep telling me he had
in
66 pressures.
11th in the league. Best overall rookie.
So you do want to talk about numbers.
We want to talk about everything he did on the football field.
Yeah.
I'm saying but you can't use Lawrence Taylor. What's the most amount of sacks Lawrence Taylor had in the season?
I have no idea.
Thank you. None of us know. We don't care about numbers in the NFL. We care about...
Then stop using them.
You're using the sack numbers. I'm saying he beat the man in front of him. And you can say that whip and war... You know what's funny about whip and war?
Yeah,
you say,
stupid.
It's new age stats that only the fans now talk about. And you know who else talks about it now? The people who are in these arbitration cases talking about whip war and all these advanced stuff. No, but that's what baseball values. This is what football values.
All of a sudden,
the other coaches in the NFL, whoever comes in, Harbaugh, whoever comes in to be the next head coach of the New York Giants is going to go, damn. You know, from afar, if I listen to nothing but people like Craig Carton, I would have thought Abdul Carter was trash this year. But now that I look at some of these numbers and the amount of pressures and how much he's doing and how many different things they asked him to do as a rookie, He's actually more impressive
than
I thought.
They didn't ask him to solve Rubik's Cube, bud. No. They asked him to play football. He's a football player.
Right. But they asked him to do things.
Why is that such a stretch?
It's not a stretch, but they've asked him to do things to take away from the numbers that you only care about.
They drafted him top 10. He should do more things.
He did.
No, he didn't.
That's what we're trying to tell you.
He didn't do anything.
He did more things.
Now, he might become a good football player.
Yes.
He wasn't one this year.
He was a good football player this year. He was not Lawrence Taylor this year, and he wanted to wear
Lawrence Taylor's number.
But that's what you're trying to say.
No, what I'm saying is...
He wasn't Micah Parsons.
If you have to go to a stat you've never referenced before in talking about a player, then you lose the argument.
We reference rushes. We just don't use it as in, like, defensive player of the year or MVP.
Soon you will. Like, well, you know why? That's not your fault. Yeah. I'm not even yelling at you. It's not your fault. Mm-hmm. The athletes have changed. The athletes have gotten softer. And woker. And now it's not enough to say, hey, we're going to judge you by the things every player before you is judged on, which is tackles and sacks.
Right.
Now it's got to be, yeah, but did you know what his flux capacitor rate was in the third quarter of conference games? Oh, that's the greatest young player I've ever seen. You guys are inventing stats to support a guy that didn't play well.
They're not.
It's actually really interesting.
It's not true, man. Those stats are used for everybody.
Because the players are soft.
The stats have changed.
Players have gotten sensitive.
Players.
Yeah.
All of the players.
Yeah. Many of them
are
Giants.
And now NFL is judging all of the players under the same new stats that you don't like. You don't have to like them. But to make it sound like Abdul Carter's being propped up by fake numbers and nobody else is, like, we're all looking at, like, everyone who's getting judged as a pass rusher rookie, they're looking at rushes. They're looking at these numbers.
Yeah.
They're looking at what we're talking about Abdul Carter with.
PFF's the worst thing that ever happened in football.
We're all under the same umbrella of it, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but it's comical because it's a cop out. We know what. Listen, there's the eye test.
Yeah,
and then there's pieces of paper.
I know, but
you guys have agreed on the eye test. Abdul Carter stunk, but on a piece of paper, oh my God, he had 66 pressures.
No, but this is the same argument. You know, if you were 40 years old, you'd be going, "Who cares about?" In my day, all we cared about was wins. Now we got sacks and we got this crap. We got, like, all numbers you're comfortable with now.
Yeah.
Back in the day, they were saying the same stuff you're saying about this.
I wasn't
you're
doing in a sports talk in the 50s,
line, buddy. A long line of old, aging fans who think their generation was better and what they cared about was more important. All right, this isn't new. What's new is the numbers, right?
Yeah.
What's not new is the argument of not liking the new numbers.
You know who else was born on my birthday?
Who's that?
Justin Timberlake. Yep. You know who else was born on my birthday? The great Jackie Robinson.
Really?
You know who else was born on my birthday? The mouth from the South, Mr. Stu Finer from Farmingdale. Oh, Stuart.
Oh, Stu.
Man, let's go, baby. Let's go. C-Mac, first of all. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I love you so much.
Thank you.
The
love you
biggest
too,
hug ever, because you're the best. You're classy, and you deserve the shine. Shine forever, C-Mac, okay? That's number one.
Thank you.
Peter Hoffman running the show from behind the board. I love it, Pete Hoffman. And Craig, I'm posting you now as the fifth greatest human that's ever lived. Now, first of all, you are the king of all media, okay? Better than Mike and the Mad Dog, better than Imus, better than Boomer and Craig, better than Craig and Evan. This combination, I believe, will conquer the world. And I just want to wish you salutations, God bless, and hugs and kisses, okay? That's number one.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
That's very
You're
nice.
The best.
You're my biggest hype man.
Now, number two.
And I love it.
On your birthday, we're both born Aquarius. We're both born January 31st. We have a loving, kind, giving nature. We always want to people please. We always want to give. We like receiving, but we're more givers.
Yes.
I would like to give to you a idea to go on your birthday. I'm going to be 65, and I think you're going to be what, 35 this January 31st?
37.
Okay, 37.
Yeah.
I have never had table service at a nightclub.
What?
So my third child, Ryan Finer, he wires like million-dollar houses for audiovisual, so he has a couple of major clubs in Manhattan that have offered free table service to me. So I could bring 20 friends, and I can spend a cap of $25,000. How about your family, my family? We each drink 10 Grey Goose martinis and see what happens. Let's see what happens. What do you think?
I like Grand Marnier.
Do you have any bubble gum?
So you drink Grand Marnier. I like club soda. You know what I mean? I like marijuana. I'm not a liquor drinker, but I'm going to set out 10 Grey Goose martinis on my 65th birthday.
I was under the impression that you were living a healthier lifestyle these days. No?
Well, no marijuana.
All right.
No sugar.
Okay.
I'm under 4,000 calories per day.
Then
but I'm going to step out on my birthday.
Then how come you're not 185 pounds?
Well, I'm 198.5. Not terrible.
There you go.
Well, you're on your way.
I mean, I've been as high as 262. I've been as low as 139. So I'm like in the middle.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. Nothing would make me happier than having an opportunity to spend my birthday with my dear friend Stu Feiner. I can't commit to it this moment, but we can certainly talk offline and see if we can do something together. And it'd be great to see you on our birthday, okay?
That would be amazing. And I've reached out to Frank the Tank, and I've reached out to Jinx, and I told them definitively that we have to do our walk. Well, really, it's your walk. I'll just be in the background because you're the star. You're the superstar. I mean, I take a little shine in your shadow because I was Pulse of the People.
Yes, you were.
The award 1 year,
yep.
And then the next year you bumped me, and I don't think that was fair, by the way. I think push cup to shove, if we put a real tech stop, I would have beat you. But be that as it may, you're the king. You know, you're the guy behind the curtain. So I just want to say that I guarantee we will do the walk with Frank the Tank, and you will shine like you should shine.
Well, I appreciate that, and I'd be happy to go on the walk with Frank. We were supposed to do it a couple months ago, and it was one of those days we had like a crazy rainstorm.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to cancel because their cameras would get all messed up. So I know we're going to reschedule that. And it'd be a privilege to walk with Frank the Tank and watch his continuing story in losing weight and staying healthy. I saw he's with Arnold Schwarzenegger last
Can
month.
Can you imagine that?
It's great.
That's
incredible. So I'm looking forward to my walk.
He went from complaining about the New Jersey Transit and the Mets at Citi Field. And he's working out with
tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Pretty good.
It's pretty amazing. It's an amazing story.
We got to take a quick break. 888-808-1019. It's the Carton Show with Big Mac coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. You know about that smell, baby. Daddy's home, baby. So, crazy story in sports. This is another Carton Show. We're on SNY. What's good, SNY, folks? I got to say hi to everybody out of Bernie's. Bernie's little tavern and live music place in Chester, New Jersey. Watching us right now. Checked out in. So,
nice, Bernie's.
Say hi to Selena and the gang over there at Bernie's right now. So, I'm not a hockey guy, but every now and then hockey gives us a gift. Every now and then, mm-hmm. You get lucky. We get a gift, right? So there's a dude who plays for the Ottawa Senators. Mm-hmm. That they're still a team?
I believe so, yes.
Did we invade Ottawa? We didn't take them
over?
No. All right.
It's not the 51st stage.
Got it. So there's a dude who plays, I guess he's the goalie for the Ottawa Senators.
That's the guy between the pipes.
Yep. Yeah, I got that. His name is Linus Ullmark.
Linus Ullmark.
Yeah, that's not an American guy. I can tell you that right now. So check this story out. As the story goes, Linus Ullmark is married. Linus Ullmark gets caught cheating on his wife. Ooh, bad boy, right?
A bell of danger.
So his wife is all ticked off, rightfully so. She got caught the husband cheating. And as the story now goes, Linus Ullmark's wife says to him, "The only way I'm going to allow you back in this house and give you a chance to revitalize our marriage and relationship is I want to know everybody else on that team that's cheating." Okay? So now Linus has himself a bit of a predicament.
Right.
Either I'm divorced. I'm not sure if he has kids or not. You can look that up for me. He's either divorced and has to deal with losing maybe half of his stuff. I don't know what the Canadian laws are about divorce, but just go with it, okay? Or he salvages his own marriage at the expense of every other guy in that locker room. Okay? They have two kids, I'm being told. All right, so it's even worse, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Cheating on the wife with two little children, okay? So Linus Olmark makes the selfish decision, and he rats out everybody else on the team. And he tells his wife, thinking, it's a sign of me being honest with you.
Right.
I'm going to tell you every other dog in that locker room who is cheating on his wife or girlfriend, thinking that that'll satisfy his now estranged wife.
Right.
And she ain't going to tell nobody.
Right. Just know who to stay away from.
No. Yeah. So the wife turns around and calls up every single other wife and girlfriend that he outed and tells them, your husband / boyfriend is cheating on you.
Oh, how do you stay on that team?
So that's what's happening. So the story in Ottawa right now is that there's been a mutiny.
Yeah.
And the other guys, rightfully so, have told the ownership, if he's not gone, we're not playing. Now, obviously, they have to play.
Right.
But, yeah.
They want him gone.
They told ownership today, cut him, trade him, whatever you got to do. We will never play hockey ever again with that guy between the pipes.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
I mean, no. The whole story, no. I can imagine, like, if you just even take away what it's about, like, you have to trust new teammates on the team. That's
right.
It. He's
and
gone.
You see things that your families don't see and aren't privy to.
Absolutely.
On the road a lot.
Oh,
look, you're a hockey player.
Yeah.
A lot of girls are interested in you. Good looking girls, the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
But the fact that the wife who's estranged from him says, if you ever want to see your children again, I want names and numbers.
Oh. What's
her? And the guy outed everybody.
Sang like a canary.
Like, I don't know what you do in that spot other than, kids, I'll see you every other weekend.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what you do.
Daddy loves you, but I'm not going to see you that much.
No, you can't.
When you're 18, I'll tell you what happened. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
And the fact is, she was never going to, like, if you're willing to put something like that out there, you could have sweet-talked your way back in.
I would have
thought. Don't you think?
I definitely.
Like, do you want to be divorced with two kids not married to a hockey player?
Yeah.
Or do you want to be an upset wife whose husband cheated on her, but he's still getting paid to be a hockey player?
Exactly right.
I think you probably choose the latter.
Wait until his career's over and then divorce him for all the money he's
got. Exactly. He's not making money for the rest of his life.
No, that's it.
Yeah. It's a crazy story.
That is a crazy story.
Yeah.
Her, I'd have to get to the bottom of her motivation on that. Like,
well,
I don't even understand.
Well, jilted wife.
Yeah,
you know?
She's like, so I want to just ruin everybody else's marriage?
Well, I think it was, you need to prove to me that you can be honest with me.
Right.
So I'm going to ask you a question that I know you don't want to tell me the truth about.
I gotcha.
And if you want to ever see your children again,
answer the question. I need to know you'd be willing to tell me this.
Yeah. So apparently, as the story goes, he wasn't like, the left wing's got a little thing on the side.
Right.
He was like, everybody.
The entire Senator team.
Yeah. And by the way, these guys do it in front of each other. They talk about it, I'm sure. Hey, my girlfriend, don't tell my wife. You know, she's coming on the road.
This one's coming with us. Yeah.
Crazy. Right.
So that's impossible.
So the end of the story, though, that I did not get, and maybe you guys could look it up, I'm not sure if she took him back.
That would be cold-blooded.
Right?
That would be cold-blooded.
So he rats everybody out.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if she's like, all right, I believe you now. We can fix this. Can you imagine?
I can't, because let's be honest. If she asks something of you that, it ain't happening.
Well,
you go your separate way.
Here's her bigger problem.
She doesn't sound like a forgiving woman.
When he gets traded to Calgary, he's going to cheat on her.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. Here's Nick in Pompton Plains. Nick, what's up, buddy?
Hey, I was trying to talk to Boomer and Gio about this story, but Al wouldn't put it through because it was hockey.
Yeah, but this is not a hockey story. This is a great human interest story.
Yeah.
I made a mistake on that one.
I 100% agree.
Yeah.
But the Ottawa Senators just signed James Reimer to a PTO, and it looks like he's going to be on the team starting in a day or two.
And
Olmark is gone.
Oh, so that new guy's a goalie, I guess? Yeah?
So yes.
They're just cutting him, or they're looking to trade him?
That's crazy.
Right now, they're saying that he stepped away from the team for personal reasons.
I didn't know that.
I just saw out.
All right, so apparently Olmark has already been kind of told to stay away from the squad.
Amazing.
Can you imagine the guy's career could come to an end?
In back-to-back shows, we have spiteful lovers, right? Lovers scoring. You
that's
say,
right.
Said my penis is too big. We have a problem.
That's right.
And you're going to cheat on me. I want to know everyone.
Here's the real problem, though.
Yeah.
Everybody in the NHL knows the story now.
Yeah.
Like, if I know the story, trust me. Everybody in the NHL knows the story.
He can't go anywhere.
So, like, if let's just say local. I don't know if the local teams need a goalie or not. So don't kill me on the hockey thing. All right.
Well, if Igor is dealing it with IR, but they do have quick.
The Ranger players don't want this guy coming in.
No.
You can't trust this guy.
No.
They're cheating on their wives. The Devils players are clearly cheating on their wives. They don't want this guy in. And you know the Islanders players.
What else do you do on Nassau County?
You cheat on your wife.
You go to Rodizio and get the best chicken, or what's the burrata, and get the best chicken.
That's right.
And you bring your girlfriend there.
So this guy's career is probably over, right? Because what team is going to want that guy on the roster? Right? Hey, Linus, look, I get it. But no, you can't come here.
No.
Right?
No.
He's done. Could you imagine?
You can't trust that dude.
Like, I know nothing about the guy, how old he is, like how good he is, like how long he's played, how much money he's got. I never heard the guy before. I don't know where Ottawa is. All right? So I'm not a hockey guy.
It's in Canada.
But this is such a great human interest story. Is it still in Canada?
It's still in Canada.
Good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think this guy's career is over. And I have no, like, he might be 27. Like, he might have 10 more good years of hockey.
Him. I don't know anything about him.
Can't play on my team.
Can't play on my team.
Right.
Amazing.
Yeah.
She's an interesting woman.
Yeah.
I would love to get her on.
She's probably now, like, the, like, Susan B. Anthony of disgruntled women.
Do you think they appreciated the call?
Well, that's a good question.
I don't know.
That's a really good question.
That's like, who the hell are
you? Like, you want to know.
Yeah.
Right, because that's going to be a lot of uncomfortable conversations.
Right, and off of what? My husband said so?
Not just that.
I got no proof my husband said so.
Not just that. I imagine in that world, when you marry a professional athlete, not from experience, obviously, but my gut is, it's like when you're married to Tony Soprano.
Yeah.
You know certain things come along with the job.
Right.
And you have to make a decision. Can I live with that?
Yeah.
I hope it's not thrown in my face and rub my nose in it.
Right.
But can you live with that because of the lifestyle that's being provided? You're right. There might be a lot of women saying, I don't want to know this.
Right. I certainly don't want a story.
Yeah.
I don't want everybody in my life calling me. Was your husband one of the husbands? Did she tell you?
And then the other thing is, how many guys in a hockey team? 20-something guys, 80 guys, 40 guys, whatever it is. 27 dudes, whatever. How many of the women got the call and didn't say something to their husbands?
Right.
Because, like, look, but, I don't have that conversation. I don't want to know.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
No, it is. I'm trying to think of how many guys actually got ratted out, and was there anyone sitting around going, I guess the good thing I didn't like that dude from the beginning.
Yeah, I never trusted him.
Your father worked with Rothenstein?
Thank you. Ivan Roth.
Rothenstein. That's all good. Your father worked with Hyman Roth, but he never trusted Hyman Roth.
That's exactly right. What?
Well, according to Anthony Gallo outside, this is not the first time it's happened in sports. D'Angelo Russell ratted out one of his teammates about cheating on Izzy Agalia.
Yeah, but they weren't married. I think, like,
Izzy Agalia
was dating a dude on the Lakers. I'm forgetting his name top of my head.
Nick Young?
Yeah, it may have been Nick Young. But I don't think they were married.
But it's he's still ratting out. He's still not a good team player.
Yeah. Iggy Azalea's bodyguards once saved my life. Yeah. Her and French Montana, they're bodyguards.
Really?
You know who they are? Iggy Azalea's, she had a couple hits on.
French Montana, yeah. Of course.
Yeah. So Iggy Azalea and French Montana were dating at one point, like back in like 2016, 17 or whatever.
Okay.
So I was on a family vacation in Mexico. And this is when I was, being a knucklehead.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard that there was a casino there. So I somehow showed up in the casino with cash. It's not a real casino.
Right.
It's like a place where they, kidnap gringos. And it was just stupidity, right?
Yeah.
And one of their bodyguards, I guess, recognized me from the fan, all right? It was from New Jersey, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm there, like, drinking pretty good, right? And doing other things. And I've got cash on me, which is a no-no. It's not even a real casino, just being stupid.
Right.
And I guess I was an easy mark. And there were guys, unbeknownst to me, that were waiting for me to walk out of the casino to, kidnap me.
You
I don't know.
You of your money.
Or, yeah, just
least.
Take the cash, it was. And as I walk out of the casino, all of a sudden, huge dude, right, comes and grabs me and goes, I'm French Montana and Iggy's bodyguard. You're in trouble.
Really?
Yeah. and
he sussed the whole thing out.
Put me in a Sprinter and drove me back to my hotel.
Wow.
Yeah. So thank you, Iggy.
That's very nice.
And thank you, French Montana.
Very nice.
And thank you, that bodyguard.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. So there you
go. That's some story.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Glad that.
I was in this hotel, and you know the Casa Azul. It's got like that white and blue ceramic bottle.
With the metal.
And it's got the metal like you ring the bell on top.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're in this, I guess, pretty bougie, fancy place in Cabo, right? And I noticed in every room, there's a miniature bottle of Casa Azul, all right? So I'd open it up. You know, you take a shot, take a swig, and you leave it, and you put the top back on, all good. And unbeknownst to me, every day when housekeeping came to clean the hotel room up, they replaced the bottle. They'd put a new bottle.
Because you took just the swig out of it.
Yeah, because the bottle was open.
Yeah.
And it'd be like next to the bed on that nightstand, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
So every day I'm opening a bottle, I'm taking a shot of Casa Azul, making a drink with Casa Azul. It's all good, right?
Yeah.
When I went to check out, I had a $2,500 tequila bill.
Oh, my God.
And I go, hold on, time out. I didn't order a single drink with Casa Azul in it.
Yeah.
I thought it was complimentary.
Yeah.
I thought that's why they kept replenishing it.
Just being kind.
It's like one and they're like, no. It costs like X amount of hundreds of bucks a bottle. And I go, look, we got to do something here. Like, I didn't even finish the bottles. You guys just kept replacing them.
Yeah.
So they took like $500 or I forget what it was. But I had a $2,500 Casa Azul bill. And I didn't finish a single bottle.
That happened with that, not nearly $2,500, but the new, like, I forget what hotel I was in, but they have, like, the refrigerators in there or the mini bar or whatever. It's all weighted. Like, the second you pick it up.
So you pick it up, it counts as a purchase.
So
we had,
we had, like, leftover food from dinner with no refrigerator. So I just emptied out the entire mini bar and put the thing in there. I said, I'll keep it cool in there.
Good.
And then when we went to go check out, it was like, you spent, I think it was like $500-$600 on the mini bar. I'm like, But thankfully, I put it all back and I proved I didn't drink it and they took the money off. But as soon as I took it out, they charged me for it.
Yeah, that's crazy. I'm sure your wife was thrilled with that one.
I know.
What were you doing behind my back?
I know, right?
Are you friends with Linus Omar?
I hope so. He'll tell me this, skinny.
Here's Joey in the Bronx. Joey, what's up, buddy?
Is there a carton in the house?
What's up,
Craigie?
How are you?
What, buddy?
What's up, Joey?
Good to hear you, my friend.
Thank you.
Good to hear you. So, Linus, first of all, she probably did him the biggest favor because now he's got to change his name from Linus to Schroeder.
Something.
He's got to do something out
there. Peanuts reference, okay, fair enough.
They should have let this guy just stay in there and have like 300 shots a game on him every night. That would have taught him.
I don't think he plays hockey ever again. I think he's done. I think it's a wrap. I think there's going to be a buyout and he's done. And I don't even care about the hockey part of it.
Right.
It's the human interest part of it.
Yeah.
Like, she must be hot, his wife.
Yeah.
That's all I can think.
You know,
or a porn star or something.
Right.
Something. One of the two.
Yeah.
But I saw that story. Like, we got to get into that a little bit.
That is crazy. Maybe they did the Goldberg thing. Goldberg the goalie. They just tie him to the net and shoot pucks at him.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah, but just still, with no padding.
But he's changed the course of the rest of your life.
Oh.
In a negative way. Right?
No, oh.
Right?
I mean, they're both bad people. Like, it feels like they're both bad people.
Seems like she's a pretty bad person, too. I know she's jilted, and it's an emotional decision and all that.
That's a bad...
But, like, you have your own problems. Like, your husband's a cheater.
Yeah.
Deal with that or not.
Yeah.
Divorce him if you want.
Yeah.
But why make him out other people?
Absolutely.
And if you're him, that's a non-starter.
Right.
I want to get back with you. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
But I'm not outing Big Mac.
Right.
Yeah. Not doing that.
Right. Don't do that.
I wouldn't do that. Don't worry. Your secrets are safe with me. What?
We'll see how the wives take it as we check on the divorce rate over the next month or two in Ottawa.
Yeah. Why don't you do that? Yeah. Keep an eye on
that.
Yeah. I'll probably never mention the story ever again, but if you're interested in it and your wife is okay with it, keep a little tally on that. It's like I can't win.
You messed up the open, Pete.
he had an Abdul Carter week.
it's a good rookie start.
There you go. Here's Russ in Bethpage on the Fan. Russ, how are you?
Hey guys, very good. I'm really enjoying the show.
Thank you.
Getting back to the Abdul Carter thing, you know, I don't know the exact numbers, but if you look at him before Thibodeau got hurt, I would say he probably played 30% of the snaps in the beginning of the year.
Okay.
So, you want to compare him to Parsons or whatever the guy was from the Cowboys. I don't think it's fair. If you look at the time on the field and the snaps he played.
Yeah.
You know, to not say he didn't have a successful rookie season, I don't think that's fair at all.
I agree with you. The snap counts are one thing. I think that's part of it. The scheme and what they asked him to do is another part of it. And then the overall part of it is also, which is fair to Craig's point, he didn't get home enough. I think we can all agree with that. When you are 11th in the NFL in pressures and you have four sacks, like he needs to be better at finishing the plays. I think that's fair. But I agree with him. You can't be as productive as he was, beat the guy in front of him as much as he did, and call it a miserable rookie season. And you take into account early on, snap counts for both him and Lawrence were kind of different, and it was a big talking point earlier in the season. Then they were dropping him into coverage. Then he had his issues with, you know, missing meetings and everything else. So overall, it might look like it wasn't that productive a first overall rookie season. I think it was better than people would estimate just by looking at the sack number.
888-808-1019. That's something to join us here on the Fans, the Carton Show with Big Mac. More of your calls coming up. We got picks coming up through Big Mac a little bit later on in the show, and actually we'll start getting into some of those first round matchups right after this.
We're coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Town Fair Tire is Connecticut's largest name brand discount tire dealer. And with Town Fair Tire, you get the guaranteed lowest prices on all name brand tires, and they honor all manufacturers' rebates, and they even honor the competitors' rebates. With more than 120 stores from Connecticut through New England and an inventory of over 600,000 tires, why go anywhere else? Name brands and discount prices, that's Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire, nobody.